Today we come together as friends and family and as Christian brothers and sisters to honor the memory of Linda Kemp by gratefully praising God for the life he granted her and all of us. We seek the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the consolation of the Word of God. Some of us have come here to renew our hope in the eternal blessedness in God's presence that is ours through Jesus Christ. And others, though they may not realize it, have come by God's sovereign hand to hear the wonderful news that their Creator is both holy and merciful, full of wrath against sinners, yet graciously offering forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross to all. Let us pray together. Father, by your grace alone, our only comfort in life and in death is that we, with body and soul, are not our own, but belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that in him we may rest in your wonderful promises. Let us worship you, for in you we live and move and have our being. You are the maker of heaven and earth, governor and sustainer of all things, and you give us life and breath and all things. You declare the end from the beginning and determine the number of our days. Grant that everyone here would find peace in the promise of the gospel, that on this day and always you would be our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Send your Spirit to comfort us. Console us with the promises of Scripture, all to the praise of your glory, and all God's adopted children reply, Amen. Amen. Linda did not, to no one's surprise, make detailed plans for her funeral. She only wanted it to be like Doug's, her late husband's. And she wanted it to be held at Mogador Chapel, the place where she had worshipped so many years, the place she had supported financially for so many years, and where she spent many hours at Bible studies and seeing to it that there were sufficient hymnals and psalters in every row. She rightly assumed that the members here, along with her family, would see to it that her lifeless body would be laid to rest next to Doug's in a sacred and dignified manner. So this service has been patterned after Doug's, according to her wishes, filled with scripture and song. It has a lot of scripture because since our Creator has spoken, we'd better listen. It has a lot of singing because if we have heard his voice condemning our sin and his promise of forgiveness in Christ Jesus, we will break forth in grateful praise. It is supremely appropriate when death confronts us that we think about ultimate realities. Evaluate our own personal standing with our Creator and judge. Do we have joy and peace in Jesus, God's only remedy for our rebellion against him, or not? For those whose hope is in Jesus, death for them is not a terror, but a door that opens to eternal bliss. This is what we celebrate today. This is why we now worship our infinitely good and gracious God, who has offered to all people salvation in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I've heard Linda say many times that she loved the hymn that we just played before we began here, because it was special to Doug. However, when I went to place it in the little song box here, I realized it is quite challenging to sing. And so, instead of me putting you through that, let me read to you its words. It's called My Tribute, and it's on page 11 in our hymn book. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. For with his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. The first hymn we will sing together is number 66 in the Blue Hymnals. Number 66. And let us stand as we sing. It has the same sentiment as that favorite of Linda's. Let's stand. If you can, if you're able. It helps us fill our lungs if we stand up, see? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. You may be seated. Well, we cannot be consoled by Scripture if we don't read it. So we begin with the Old Testament Psalms. Again, all picked out for Doug's funeral, so I didn't have to pick out any scriptures. That sometimes is hard to choose, you know, which should we pick? There's so many great ones to, in fact, the whole Bible is, of course, but I mean, just, how about for a funeral? What do we pick out? Well, this is from Psalm 46, the first 11 verses. God is our refuge and strength. Oh, and by the way, I want you to remember that the Psalms are poetry. And so they've got imagery in them and so forth, and they don't translate real well over into English. So this sounds like prose to you, but it was really poetry, and they would sing to them. Okay. So just remember that as we read them. If it talks about God being a rock, understand that's metaphorical. Okay, so God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then Psalm 90, 12 verses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that's renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Our next hymn is 554. 554. This is another of Doug and Lyndon's favorites. It's an old-time hymn. We don't sing it a whole lot here. Sunday evening services we often did because Doug would pick it. And I can remember them singing it with gusto as Doug strummed his guitar. In order to really belt it out, though, we really should stand. And so we will sing, by the way, there's an optional choral ending after the last verse. And the only reason I want you to sing is because the music box is going to play it, and I can't stop it. Okay? I'll play through a verse for you. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, of this life have gone, I'll fly away to a home on God's down. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Imagine I'm singing that. Have a seat. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall allow to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This next psalm, we will sing from the Red Psalters. It's the only song we'll sing out of here. It's Psalm 121, and it's near the back. It's on page 109. So it's Psalm 121 to this tune. To the hills will lift my eyes, from whence shall come my aid? My safety is from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Forever keeps thee whole. Next we have Psalm 139, the first 18 verses. The psalm that is often quoted because of its pointing to the characteristics of God as being omniscient and being everywhere, all present. Knowing everything, knowing and being everywhere. It begins, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there, the place of death. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Now, as we do in our regular Sunday morning worship, after we read the Old Testament and the Psalms, we next read from the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament prophets looked forward in faith to the coming of God's Son in human form for their salvation. They are saved by Christ as well, even before he came. The New Testament apostles, after Christ's coming, look back to his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, his ascension to the Father. Under Jesus' direction, they write to make sure that we understand who he was, what he did for his people, and how we are then to live. Our first New Testament reading is from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, this Paul, he is a great encouragement to us, not just in what he wrote, of course, that was through the Holy Spirit, but by his life. He was a former persecutor of Christians until Jesus confronted him and gave him the task of preaching the good news of salvation. And from then on, it was all peachy. He underwent severe hardships and persecution, never giving up his hope in his Savior. So he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, this guy was very logical, you see. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise him, if it's true that the dead aren't raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. See, they had a misunderstanding. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man, Adam, came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul also wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica to comfort them about their fellow believers who had died. Christianity was new. All sorts of rumors were going around. What's happening here, there? What comes next, Paul? So he's writing them, and they're wondering about their friends and neighbors and relatives, whoever it was that were believers, and they had died. Now what? In chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 13, he writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, dead, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Believers. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first," get their bodies. "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And also, by way of encouragement, Paul wrote the following in 2 Corinthians 4:16. "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked." We've got a soul, you know. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Let us reflect on these scripture passages in the singing of hymn number 224 from the hymnals. 224. Let us stand. I'm going to pause that because we just lost our... we lost our speaker somehow. Sounds like it's on. Let's see if it keeps going. Yep. Jesus, live, and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. He for me hath deigned to die. Lives the bands of death to sever. He shall raise me from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and reigns supreme, and his kingdom still remaining. I shall also be with him, ever living, ever Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and by his grace, victory o'er my passions giving. I will change my heart and ways, ever to his glory live. Me he raises from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, I know full well, not from him my heart can sever. Life nor death nor powers of hell, joy nor grief henceforth forever. None of all his saints is lost. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and death is now but my entrance into glory. Courage then, my soul, for thou hast a crown of life before thee. Thou shalt find thy hopes were just. Jesus is my hope and trust. seated. And next, we'll hear words Jesus spoke to his disciples while he lived among them. These two passages, like the others, were also selected for Doug's funeral. And Linda's, obviously. First is from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Not long before his death, Jesus said these words to his disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. He'd already told them what was going to happen. They didn't really quite understand it, but they knew it was going to be bad. So he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? They didn't get it. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Another of Doug and Linda's favorites was hymn 543. 543. This hymn refers to the role being called in heaven, the role in called up yonder. Okay, it's like I used to do the first day of school. I'm actually a teacher, I'm not a preacher. Okay, and at the first day of school, I didn't know the kids. They, you know, they probably knew me, but I don't know who each one of them were, and to make sure the students who were assigned to my class and only those students were actually present, I would take the roll. Okay. Our God has a perfect record of those who are really believers in Christ. So, he's going to take roll. That's the point of the song. You'll probably want to stand so you can sing it right out. That was nice to you. I slowed this down from what it usually is played. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us lay before the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. You may go ahead and sit down. That hymn recalls the prophecy in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 20. I'll start reading at verse 11. This is John's vision. There's a lot of imagery in Revelation. And I'll just forewarn you about that. But it's a beautiful section telling of what's coming. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city. This is a representation of God's people. The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." I told you it was going to be good. But so that you don't think that this is just New Testament talk, I want to remind you that this prophecy I just read elaborates on the Old Testament prophecy found in Isaiah 65:19, where he writes of God, of course, "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." That was Old Testament. New Testament, he will wipe away every tear. We have here a beautiful picture of God himself blotting our tears. And we have many if we live on this earth for any length of time. Linda had many over her 80 years. You have too. God does not ignore our tears. He acknowledges them. He has seen every tear. He sympathizes with us. He wipes each one away. I'm talking to believers now. With great tenderness, he consoles us, and with great power that only he possesses, he transforms our sufferings. Further, he takes delight in each person who has taken refuge in him, and they will live with him in eternal loving bliss, enjoying him and adoring him forever. This everlasting life can and does begin here for those who put their trust in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This now brings us to the last hymn of the service. His name is Life. Number 114. Let us stand, and then we'll sing 114. We'll close in prayer here before going to the cemetery for the committal, and then we'll return here for lunch. Let's stand. 114.
Judah, blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation, Lamb of God is He.
Let's pray. Father, may your Holy Spirit comfort us who are mourning this day. Apply the consolation of Christ's promises to their eternal souls. Grant that on our lips and in our hearts would be the words, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is very much better. May each of us be deeply moved by the brevity of life in this world and seek the peaceful rest in Christ that begins in this world and forever continues into the next. And all God's people reply,
Amen.
Amen.